Hello, everybody. I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
And I'm Jack.
Go on.
I'm Rose.
There we are.
Okay, special guest.
High status guest. Yeah. And also, I should like to point out somebody who's here for the original commentary, which was recorded not that far away from a year ago.
Absolutely.
Wow. It was last April, although it came out in fucking October or something.
Yeah. But that's when you came up with Chicken Crofts. Which I believe is now in development.
Did I invent Chicken Crofts?
You did invent Chicken Crofts.
It's now a Five Live reality show.
So what we're watching, Chris?
We're watching...
And for why?
Well, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Because Rose wanted to.
Does everybody here love that film?
Everybody... Now, what was it you said earlier in the preamble to this, Rose?
That it's one of the greatest films ever made and that anyone who doesn't agree is a cunt. Craig, what do you think of Willy Wonka?
I liked it when I was a kid. When I was a student, I thought it was fancy schmancy weirdy. Okay. Now I just find it a bit boring.
So you're going for the full Stuart Lee, people who read children's books and watch children's films as adults are massive thickies. No. Two master's degrees.
Because I degree from a pauper university said... no, I don't think that at all. And here's the thing that'll make you really love me and warm to me, is that I really like Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Apart from anything else, that's the proper title.
That is the proper title.
But it's...
Yeah, but this
the
all proper, is a film,
the
not a book.
The proper title is Put Your Hands on Your Head, Get on the Floor, kill him, stamp on his melon until it's an unrecognisable slick of mints.
I'm up for that. That's not a problem.
So, anyway, back at the plot.
So here we are in Munich.
Munich, München, I believe.
Munich, 1933. What could possibly go wrong?
Who are they fleeing from, I wonder?
Let's all get in the beer cellar.
Let's get down to the beer hall. Started off with the pictures of the chocolate production.
A la Cosmo and Dibs.
Yeah. I like it. How does that sound?
Hey, Cosmo!
Let's go and see how chocolate gets me!
That was Dustin G's impression of Vera Duckworth.
All right, Chuck.
So,
who does that man look like, Chris?
He looks a bit like Colin Jeevans, but it's not Colin Jeevans. Because it should have been Colin Jeevans.
Has your son ever watched this and made an observation about the scene?
Well, he tells me that if you look carefully, at one point when the hatch gets opened, I don't know if he does it more than once, he thumps a kid under the chin with it.
Oh, right.
With the hatch, I should point out. Although I think there's something about sprinkle it with dew. I think we're in very, very difficult territory. 1971.
This is quite a nice rendition of the Candyman song, Chris.
Yeah, if you sing it five times in the mirror, Anthony Newley appears. This was... Perfect.
What a cock Anthony really was.
Yeah. Well, he objected. What is that? Fucking microdots.
Cats.
He objected so much, Anthony Lee Leslie Brucus.
Fucking hygiene. Look at him just sticking his big grubby mitt in the sweetie.
He objected to the
That's
production.
Exactly what he's
the,
up to.
Yeah. He objected to the song so much that they gave it to Sammy Davis Jr.
Wow.
Who had the biggest hit of his career.
Brilliant.
It doesn't look like a real shop, does it?
No.
It also doesn't look like a great business model.
No.
In terms of who's totting up what these greedy little shits are just snatching.
Absolutely. It's just, you're just giving them loads and loads of shit. Now watch here.
Right.
Hey!
Smack a little kid.
Take that.
Tell you what, that kid's a fucking pro.
Yeah. Aye, didn't break the
button.
Yeah. She's screaming, her teeth are all over the carpet now.
Can I
expect to see what they can get out of that samovar full of lemon barley water?
Can I just raise an issue here about chocolate shops?
Yeah.
Those fountains and Thorntons, what do you think
vulgar.
Of that?
Oh.
That's terrible.
That's just a Scott Block. It's fountain. It's a waterfall of Scott block.
Building out like
Scottish
some
kind of chocolate.
I've no idea why Charlie, for it is he, is standing out with his wee face pressed against the window, because no cunt's paying for it. Just go in the chuck it at you.
Pouring chocolate down.
I think that's testament to the innate goodness of his temperament that we will see evidence.
Look, those are German, those are German magazines.
Yeah.
I think I saw Der Spiegel or something like that there.
Der Scheisenhauser. It's a Scheisse movie.
Nazi time.
Where is it meant to be set though?
Middle Europe.
Is it?
I don't think it's ever spoken. I mean, it's a very
sort of fantasy
British
world.
Book,
well, yeah, because you think they called things like Charlie Bucket and Aunt Grandpa Joe and all that. You think it was going to be set in Britain somewhere.
But it was shot in Germany.
Yeah, no, but I mean, where is it set?
But why was it shot in Germany?
Well, there must have been tax breaks or something going to go.
But I think it gives it a lovely otherworldly reality. You know, it absolutely hovers on the margin of what you recognise.
Craig, counter.
No, I go along with that. I've no objection to that.
Okay.
I actually think one of the things I don't like about it is that I don't like the look of it when it goes into the factory.
Okay.
This stuff actually looks quite
nice. That's just fucking horrible.
It looks like a TV program when it goes into the factory.
But this with the guy with the fucking knives and all that is proper weird.
And if it's always that thing about, dusk, anything crepuscular is, essentially has that hauntological creepiness of, time in between.
The kid is good.
Yeah.
I don't remember him being in anything else.
No, he made this film. I think he might have been in one other thing, and then he went away, grew up, and became a vet.
Well, didn't they do like one of those ITV Stars Reunited documentaries on this, or...
Yeah, and actually most of them, I think, didn't carry on acting. I think Paris Thiemann, who plays Mike TV, did, and the girl who played for Rip Assault.
Because otherwise the cast is totally immense. But we'll get to them as we
And approach. What do we think of... I always thought Grandpa Joe was a kind of dubious character in so much as that he just lies in bed until there's a whiff of chocolate and then he gets up.
Yeah, but they all stay in bed. I mean, the point is that they're all bedbound.
Right, but he isn't when there's a wee whiff of chocolate.
Yeah, but he's the one that knows all the mythology about Willy Wonka, and he gets... The point, I think, is meant to be that he's excited as Charlie.
Okay, what I'm saying is he's
malingering.
he's malingering. He thinks there's some free grub.
He wouldn't stay in bed most of the time getting fed free grub. There's something fucking wrong with
him. Now, that's one of the first things that deviates from the book is that there's no dad.
No.
Because the dad works in the toothpaste factory. Just open it.
Come on, Bar. Come on, Mr. Bar.
Come on, Robin. Get that bar.
Oh, you're like a sweetie rustler at one of the quiet bits in a pantomime.
Get that panda curl.
Just rip it off. Rip it off. Get your Werther's open in the bob. Yeah. Shut the fuck
it's
up.
It's just two kids on stage trying to sing a whole new world. Try to silently open a chalk ice.
Don't move the glass away, you fanny.
All right, just a wee bit. Come on, you can do a wee bit more, just there.
What?
This is a visual gag, it's not going
to work. Yeah. So what the visual gag is?
I can hear it, pop. Sounds good.
That's the visual gag.
Sounds good.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Do we think there's enough set up for the factory?
No.
Because in the... No.
And in the excellent 2005 film, it's much better set up.
Well, let's leave that aside for the moment.
Yeah, we're going to come to
it's
that.
It's got David Kelly as the granddad.
But when we all saw this, at whatever point we saw it, because obviously we wouldn't have seen it in the pictures or anything. No. Had you read the book first?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I've kind of seen this film since I was like a real nipper. It's
That's what I mean.
So it's been there. I would doubt I'd read the book first.
What do you think?
I read the book first.
I think I read the book first.
And then I saw the film on a rented video at Vicky MacArthur. Sleepover party.
Oh, that Vicky MacArthur.
That Vicky MacArthur.
Let me guess, this is about 1981, 1982, when she had her video recorder?
Yes, and where she constantly showed off about the fact that her dad was friends with Tiger Tim. And that was all she had.
Wow,
that
video
was
recorder.
All she had.
Would that be Tiger Tim or
David Bartley?
The Untied Chile Show.
Hey, yes.
I was on that.
See, another one, all fucking swinging your wand about because you've just had a sniff of Tiger Tim.
Yeah.
David Batley is great.
He is great.
Yeah, he's brilliant in this. His greatest performance, of course, is his...
He's in Crow, isn't he?
Yeah, remember his character.
Yeah, but I can't remember his character's name.
Urgo the Magnificent.
That's it, yeah, no, he's very good.
Short in stature, tall in power, narrow of vision and wide of... No, narrow of purpose and wide of vision. There and I go. Do not treat the beggars and thieves. Good day.
I bet your brother knows that.
Magnificent.
Is your brother not Rael the Cyclops?
And they rented Crow so that he could watch it in his golden swimming pants.
I think he's very characterful for someone who's not in this very long.
Yeah, but there's a lot of because Tim Brooke Taylor appears in it as well.
Yes, he does.
Does he?
Yeah, Tim Brooke Taylor's in this.
Yes, and it is. This film is wonderful for all the broadly drawn, vinyl, horrible, sleazy adults who are more caught up in the disgusting chocolate frenzy than the children.
Yep.
Is Audie's not in it? Is he?
No.
I don't know if he'd watch it if he turned up.
No, he's not. Yet. But I read the book in school, I think, before I saw this, because I think I probably realised this existed a wee bit late on. And I was quite bothered by the fact that in the book there's a whole load of stuff building, because the Cranbourne Joe tells all these stories about, you know, like Prince Pondicherry and his castle of chocolate and all this sort of thing, to build up who Willy Wonka is. And in the film you don't really get any of that. Yeah, but we're talking about this one.
Well, we have to give it context.
Just because it pays a bit more homage to the original backstory doesn't mean it's not the
same.
So not at the end of the film, it doesn't.
So what do you think of
this fucking dentist dad?
And that's all right, I don't mind
that. Oh, that's all right.
Because that's adding, it's not taking away.
There's nothing taken away from this, it's merely judicious editing.
But if you watch very closely in that scene...
How'd they manage that?
The man behind the counter... punches a child in the face.
He deliberately kicks a small girl in the fan.
They realised that the Candyman got away with it, so he said, let's push it.
Wants Olivia there.
Yeah. But what I like about Chinese this section is when you have no idea. Obviously, that Charlie Bucket's obviously going to be the main character, Bouquet.
Yeah.
But you don't know, if you don't know the story in the book, who is a prominent character in this talk at this stage, because it just jumps around all over the place.
That's true.
Are you aware that he's the one that's actually having a go at it? Whereas I just said that I said I liked that
about the film.
See, that Craig. Just goes to show that nobody listens to Jack because he's a low status
individual. So if I said I think it's a lot of shite but I like it, that would be fine.
The first gold digger was found.
There we are, in Germany.
He's a wonky looking fella, isn't he?
Yeah, he's wonky.
He's really wonky.
So is this Augustus Gloop?
Yes, the great fat greedy nincompoop.
Who's clearly the model for Uda in The Simpsons. Don't make me run, I'm full of chocolate.
Is the film as nasty as Dahl's book?
Yeah, I think it is, because I think you can't make a film of that book without it having that nastiness, because it's got that kind of terrifyingly clear-cut moral centre about... You know, it's like Old Boy or Seven. It's about people horribly being held accountable for their vanities and foibles and human failings.
That's a good point, actually. I've always said that about Seven. The point is, when he makes the case against them, it's inarguable what he says.
I mean, I guess this is a bit more complex, because actually, when you look at it, you're like, yes, those children are absolutely obnoxious and repugnant, but they are small children. It's a failure of their dreadful parenting, as opposed to them needing to be held accountable for the ways in which they're little shits.
But comparable to other Roald Dahl books, this isn't actually that grim. You know, nobody's parents get eaten by rhinos super glued to trees. You know, there's just...
One of the kids is kept in a room for a year, though, and a photograph taken every day as they decline and get filled full of drugs.
Yeah,
was that Seven?
Yeah. Yeah, but when they deliver Mike TV's head in a box at the end, it brings a quick resolution.
That bit where Violet Beauregard's festering in a room full of magic trees. Because the Candyman...
Grandpa Joe running in with a big fucking metal dildo with a knife on it attached.
I think one of the
little Charlie Bucket.
I think actually one of the genuine feelings thought about is that it really doesn't, I don't think it sets up enough of why Charlie particularly deserves all the good fortune and everything. I mean, I know during the course of it, the rest of them just, everybody's tested, but the rest of them prove themselves to be awful. He doesn't actually prove himself to be anything all the way through it. So it needs I think it needs a wee bit more set up at the start.
Well, I mean, I think if you got much more of a setup of what his life was actually like, that's going to be like Mike Lucello sawing away in the background squirm about an impoverished squalor. I'm not really sure how much of that you want in a children's film.
Quite a lot.
However, in the film's credit column now, yeah.
Roy Kinnear.
Hello to the magnificent Roy Kinnear.
Do you know? And
it is too late into our commentaries that he's only now turning up in one of these films. He ought to have been in it from the start.
He was in Watership Down.
Yeah, he was.
But we're not watching that until next week.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait until we watch that.
I love that film. I love that
film. And we thought that the false start had got us away from that continuity.
Do you know, false start?
I'm trembling as if I've already watched.
Yeah. Do you know, Chris, seeing time for that, can you think of a kind of a Barry Manilow, Watch It Down kind of time that we can do?
That's your task.
If you can come up with something kind of halfway through,
I'll try and think
that would be good. Now, he is superb in this.
It's Willy Wonka. He's got lots of chocolate, and the kids are all cunts.
Sorry, that wasn't Pat Coombs there, was it?
Oh, I think that might be.
What, his wife?
Yeah.
I think it is, yeah.
Oh, my stars.
I love Pat Coombs.
Why would you not just stuff that up your duke?
Now, who directed this film?
Mel Stewart.
Total No More. Okay.
Yeah. Mel Stewart.
Because I think the actors work.
Mel Stewart. Yeah.
The actors work very hard. It is Pat Coombs. Look.
Oh, it's Pat Coombs. Oh, my gold.
Because there's so many bits of business from all of the characters. And it's phenomenal. Which is why I say I think that's part of the reason why it makes it hard to pick out who the minor characters are from the major characters. Because lots of them have interesting bits of business.
I will...
Man in the background there just watching what was going on, which is something that you love in a film, Chris.
Oh, I love that. I will say that the new version has a much more realistically big factory.
Yeah.
Because the factory needs to be a bit bigger. Sorry, Roland.
It's got a Danny Elfman score.
And you're all Doctor Who fans, and you're complaining about the dimensions of the magical chocolate factory.
No, they're not Doctor Who fans. They're not Doctor Who fans.
He's the Doctor Who fan, sorry.
Look at that.
This is a nice wee bit of business that he does.
With a lovely old school punch card computer as well.
Do you know, one day ticker tape will be the dominant form of communication? Guys.
And proper computers for films, which is big tapes going one way and quickly going the other. One of the best examples of that is in the phenomenally good film Hot Millions with Peter Ustinov and Maggie Smith, where they have this huge, you know, with Bob Newhart and Carl Malden and whatever, and Peter Ustinov plays a guy who's an embezzler. It's a great film. And he's showing the kid, he pretends he's Robert Morley, who's a computer expert. And he goes in and they walk around and they say, well, this is the security, and there's a wee blue light. And Bob Newhart says, and while that blue light's on, we know this system is absolutely secure. And Peter Ustinov writes in his wee book, disconnect blue light.
Now, you're a Tim Burton fan, aren't you? So what do you think of his version of... Clearly, I think we've picked up that you don't think it's as good as this version of Charlie and Chocolate Factory. Do you think it's a bad film?
No, I don't. I think it's when I find it hard to separate how much I love this from the fact that I didn't feel like it had the heart and the warmth and the kind of whimsical poetry of this. And it just lacks Gene Wilder. Why would you try and get anybody else to be Willy Wonka? Gene Wilder is so incredible in this film, and he's unsettling. And he plays warm, and he plays creepy, and
indifferent as well.
Yeah, totally indifferent.
Is Johnny Depp too young to play Willy Wonka?
Craig, as the defender of Tim Burton,
probably not.
Yes, sorry,
not actually, because he's in his 40s, but he looks too young.
Yeah, but Willy Wonka should be older than that.
It's a bit odd thing, because I mean, The trouble with Tim Burton is he hasn't really acted in years. He's just done shtick. And that's fine, because he's
good. Johnny Depp, sorry, beg your pardon.
He's just done shtick, and that's fine. But I don't really regard him as much of an actor now, because he just does his stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, he's a bit... He's not the strongest thing in it.
And David Kelly's the strongest
thing. Yeah, David Kelly's fantastic in it. And I certainly agree that... And also, James Fox is good in it. Mm. I certainly agree that Gene Wilder's unbeatable. I mean, he is incredible in it. So I'd go with you on that one. I think he's better. But I just think everything else about the other one, I love the look of it. I think it looks fantastic.
It does look beautiful, but I think Johnny Depp plays him as just glacial weirdo.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like there's no connection between him and Charlie, and I don't feel interested in his performance.
I'd say I agree with that in the sense that you can imagine if you take the you look at the film flat on, you can imagine Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka, you know, closing a place for 10 years and going abroad and finding a tribe of midgets and having everything half one colour and half the other, whereas Johnny Depp just acts like a bit of a weirdo.
Yeah.
But I mean, it passes a couple of hours. I definitely think it's great.
Songs are good.
And the songs are fantastic.
Yeah, the songs
particularly
are
the Willy Wonka, the chocolate, and the little sort of. There's nothing in this that I like as much as the mechanized stuff. I love
that. Although I think that's taken from Shrek.
Well, it may or may not be, but I say there's nothing in this that I like as much as that.
I think it's nicked.
And who else do we like in the cast from the Tim Burton version?
Well, I think the whole cast are good. David Kelly's great. Christopher Lee's in it, so ergo, fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on board for
that. Yeah.
And the...
And the Oompa Loompas, Deep Roy. Deep Roy. Who, of course, played the Peking Homunculus.
And I do love... the fact that David Kelly got to be a star of such a big mainstream film.
And were we not talking about Deep Roy in the previous commentary as well, I suppose?
Superman 4.
Yeah. And it's got...
Can't remember why.
It's got the former Mrs. Burton in it.
That
work's dried up now.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
And that Australian actor that's in everything, though, I think he plays the dad.
This part is so beautiful. The totally downbeat scene while she sings that beautiful, beautiful song.
Mm.
And he's very likeable, isn't he, Charlie?
Anthony Newley.
No, I specifically like this song.
Yeah.
This is lovely song.
Yeah.
And she sings it very nicely as well.
Does it seem a bit incongruous to have it in München? You said you think it gives it a bit of a slightly otherworldly...
Yeah, and I think, it's a place that has, like, some familiarity, but it seems sort of otherworldly, and, like, you know, that kind of factor architecture is quite storybookish, but still of the real world, you know. And
I'm the storyteller.
You know, and I think
it looks like an old watercolour,
maybe told.
Children's book or something, doesn't it?
It is quite children's book-esque, isn't it?
And also, I think it's interesting because so much of it is so British, like all the bits in the school, all the interiors, that bit with Tim Brooke Taylor
German
and the teacher. Number
plates.
Yeah, and there's like sort of BMWs.
Well, that street looks like something from the Odessa film. I wish I had a Christmas dream. Talking about incongruous music.
But they haven't tried to disguise the Germanness, because we've seen German magazines at the newsagent, and we just saw some German number plates there.
Well, I suppose you think kids, you know.
Why wasn't he called Charlie in that case?
Charlie and Das Chocolate Factory.
Good!
Charlie, that's chocolate haha machen geschaltet.
Willy Wonka!
And it probably would have Zoe, because that's the German naming convention, that like lots of things are just called thing, like a lighter is a Feuerzeug or a hovercraft is a Luftkissenfahrzeug, which is a ground kissing going thing, so it probably would be like a Schokoladen machen Zeug.
Über Schokolade machen Zeug.
Charlie und Schokoladen machen Zeug.
Unter Oompa Loompa Zeugs.
When did we stop putting westerns on the telly? When do we think that was?
You maybe have, I haven't.
No, when all
we don't get westerns on telly.
When all films were.
I'm going to say it was 1984.
When all films were relegated to film channels.
Yeah.
And they're just on those movies for men ones in the afternoon. Oh, no, Film 4 has always got some shows.
Yeah, 5
not like the western.
I'm not keen on the
western.
I like
the way Slugworth does
the western.
But I don't. I think it's a whole genre that I've missed because it's just redolent of Sunday boredom.
Yeah, maybe.
Why did they...
Phil Norman,
uh-huh.
What a handsome chap.
What a handsome chap.
Never understands why there are so many Westerns on the telly, because he says that they have no cultural resonance. But that's because he doesn't come from the west of Scotland.
That's true, exactly. You'd know all about it if you were
good. That's true.
The man from Lock Hall.
And why when they're...
Between that and Bootle Saddles.
And why when they're singing on those ones, do they have such, they sing in a sort of high-pitched voice?
What?
Quite a lot of times, like Roy Rogers.
Yeah, but that wasn't really a western, was it? That was a singing cowboy film.
They had a high...
Well, like Gene Autry.
I never understood the sort of high-pitched voice. I thought that was...
I don't understand what you mean about it.
It just confused me. And I'm still confused by it.
Yeah, it's clear.
What, like on big men with guns on horses with ladies' voices?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, anyway,
Howard Keel didn't have a
he
didn't
know,
he had, no, he had a great voice.
That little reference was like you were genuinely really disturbed.
What's it called?
Yeah, not Western, so are they some brothers? Oklahoma. And that.
He used to walk along singing.
But did he get...
Oh, what a beautiful morning.
But did
he
get...
Did they get classified as Western?
Or are they just...
Are they just part of a musical show?
Can it's you, like fucking catnip for me.
Will you do that one again next time?
Yeah, do you want me to do that again?
No, don't
do
that.
More Gemini.
Don't do that when we're talking about what it's
right, okay. Thanks,
don't.
Gemini. Drop by anytime.
What do you think?
There's Wally's in the background there. Look at his shape against the wall. Or the guy from Short Circuit.
Oh, son. I'll eat the chocolate.
Grandad, you're fucking honking, get off
me. Oh, imagine like four people guffing under the same duvet
and cabbage soup.
Eating cabbage soup all the time.
Mm. Fucking unbelievable.
It's the last box of Willy Wonka bars in the world.
Is that what it says?
That's exactly what it says. Bidding of the person.
This is full of men that look like terrifying politicians.
This is quite a good setup joke.
That's a good point that Rose just made. It's like the cabinet from the time.
It is, yeah.
All these men are really quite terrifying.
Those people you saw on the news that just had sort of unquantifiably scary faces.
Getting out of Rovers in Downing Street.
Sideboards.
Joe Gascoigne. What's she doing in the back?
Is that Joe Gascoigne?
Give them anything they want. I'm going to give them the gentle touch. I'm going to show them my cat's eyes.
Is Joe Gascoigne still alive?
She certainly is.
She's married to Dr. Octopus. What's his name?
Alfred Molina.
Yeah.
Is
been
she?
Together a long time.
Yep.
Oh.
He's seen her cat's eyes.
It's like Joe Gascoigne.
There are
she?
A lot of self-contained sketches in this, really, aren't there? Like the Tim Brittany thing is.
Yeah, but the I think that's quite cleverly constructed because it nips along.
Yeah.
And it's quite fun and all that before you get to the actual narrative of just. Because the actual narrative of the story is just basically kids being bumped off one at a time.
There were none, basically.
Yeah, absolutely,
with hundreds
as well. I like that as well, the sort of...
Very 70s Paraguay.
Yeah.
It looks a bit like Anthony Mulia, actually.
But it does a lovely thing where it establishes the level of frenzy in the world, and you see that this is a small and meaningful bit of hope for Charlie, whereas in the rest of the world it's a slightly vulgar feeding frenzy.
Yeah. One of the nice things about the 2005 one, if I may, is who plays the shop owner that Charlie buys the ticket off.
I can't remember.
It's Tony from EastEnders. Remember?
From
way back at the beginning, the black family that were in
Oliver somebody.
Really nice actor.
He is a great actor, yeah.
Look at the Britishness of that interior when you know that it's
Yeah,
moving.
No, absolutely.
And it looks like it's got that Britain in the 70s smell of like vaguely bachelor uncles of like stale frying and tabs and a party sofa and mothballs.
A fried prawn sandwich and beer.
It's funny, isn't it?
Except
because
someone writing fuck gons on the background there if it was a British school.
Because I don't suppose a classroom like this will mean anything to kids now.
No.
You know, sitting in rows facing the forward and black.
Because they have space classrooms.
Yeah, well, they just don't have classrooms
and
like that.
And hover teachers.
But that's so like. That's so like classrooms were.
There's a penguin on
right
there,
down to the stuffed seagull in
there. It's
they got taxidermy in there.
Malamp.
Is the great oak.
I think it might be. He was a magician.
It's a leftover from Raiders of the Last Ark.
He's going to be Neolithic now.
All it lacks is a Chad. Say, like, what, no golden ticket? when did people stop doing chads?
Yeah, when did people
what
stop
no
doing
chads?
Chads?
What no chads?
Yeah.
What no chads? That's, that's very good.
It's when they gave up racism as well.
Yeah. Were chads racist?
No, just everyone gave up racism around the same time. We'll say last actually.
Well, I've never been much of a drawer, so I'm keeping racism alive.
You're keeping that going?
Yeah.
Where did chads even come from?
There's Maximilian Schell's car from there.
Yes, yeah.
Back Warren. Where did chads come from and why are they called chads?
I don't know. Chads are those little punch things on American ballot paper.
But it was before the war, chad appeared. It was. Oh, no, I just didn't know that. I'll find out and I'll stick it
reverse somewhere.
Yeah.
When I was a small child, my courtesy cousin Andrew and I were drawing.
Yeah, was that from your uncle that's not your really your uncle, just a pal of your dad?
Yeah, that's their kids or your courtesy cousins.
Brilliant. That's a good
relatives.
But I'm having them now.
Okay. And we were drawing chads, and genuinely the rudest, most rebellious thing I could think of was to draw a chad that said, "What no farts?" And I honestly
thought,
you've come a long way.
That was fully a moment of like, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much fucking space. Look at this. I went there. What no farts?
Oh, you want it, isn't it?
It's a fucking big bar of chocolate you get if you walk in it.
Yeah.
Now we want the money.
Yeah,
fucking dick.
Off the fucking pub.
All the rich kids are getting drizzled.
Free
in
those
his,
that can afford them.
And his sweetie goodness.
He's quite gluttonous there, isn't he, Charlie?
He's hungry. He's not a glutton unlike the other grabby little sticky-fisted fuckers. Charlie is hungry.
Yeah.
Where did he get this money from?
He found it.
Oh, okay.
So
he's stolen money so that he can
stuff
his face with
chocolate.
He found
it.
If you found 10p down a stank, would you go and hand it into Pitt Street Police Station? Or would you go and buy a Freddo's or 30p? Now you can't get fuck all.
That's true.
Probably 2p sweets or
50p. I love half a mojo, please.
Dairy Chronicle.
Corbyn's Britain.
Yeah.
Get that why, box of matches I always wanted.
And see why you're investigating for the reverse FAQ the history of chads. Of the chad.
Mm-hmm.
Can we also have why there were half pence pieces?
What?
Why was there half pence? Why were we?
Because you bought things that were half a pence on them.
But why would you make them half a pence?
FUD asks a question.
Why would you make
them
half a pence? Why wouldn't you just make the value of 1p half that value and call it 1p?
Because overall, if you go back to the economy again, overall wealth was much lesser and things would cost a larger proportion of what money you had.
Right.
Therefore, half P's were quite an essential part of that.
Is this what makes you such an
economic
global power?
Why don't you just make the value of 1p?
What? Well, but didn't it all grow up in a fucking goose-laden estate in the countryside?
With a giant striding about the place.
Your own
and with the
giants.
Golden swimming trunks.
Yeah. Yeah. Golden
made of actual gold.
Fucking finding oil because he can see it from his fucking top of his napper.
Yeah.
I just
some of us needed those half peas, you rich fuck.
Just don't get half.
Well, no,
you're right, you don't get half peas, and you haven't got them for about 30
you don't
years.
Get chads.
So shut the fuck up.
What's wrong with this country?
It's people like you.
No chads, no half peas.
Fucking Keith Joseph came along and said, let's not have them anymore.
What, no half peas?
No, exactly.
Next thing you can tell me they don't make car phones anymore.
Well, no, because there's a car phone.
They're all in a warehouse.
They're all in a big warehouse somewhere.
Smithy's warehouse.
Roger could probably
there.
See it from
this
his house.
This is a genuinely sinister moment.
Yeah,
I'm off of Flagworth. Oh.
But I think that's one of the really, really appealing things about this film is that kind of thing where, like, you know, kids are constantly engaged in that, like, the right thing to do versus, like, the gratifying thing to do. And I think, like, that through line in the story that underlies it is a really, really wonderful one. You know, it's really, really appealing. Because, we're all doing that to a certain point, like, gratification versus the right thing. But this is so sinister, and it's a nice little story bubbling under the rest of it that you don't really see again until the end.
On a similarly philosophical subject,
I'd go with that.
Do rimless glasses equal evil?
I think round rimless glasses like? Definitely do.
Do you know who his glasses are very similar to? The Tyrell from Blade Runner.
They're rimless.
Yeah,
they're also like
the same shape as well.
That's decent angle.
There's a sort of there's a sort of evil man. There's kind of evil efficiency to them, isn't there?
I used to have a pair of rimless glasses.
Did you?
I mean, I think nowadays
case, evil days.
Case proven.
Run, son.
Case proven.
Run,
was that in
son.
Your days as the poet laureate?
It was after that.
Well, when you were the evil poet laureate.
Editorial director of Faber and Faber.
That was it, yeah.
The evil editorial director.
Carting around the Russell Hotel.
You know me well.
Drinking half pints of mild with DSL.
Yeah.
I think nowadays rimless glasses mainly say Sven Göran Eriksson or a dad.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
One of which I am, but I'm not telling you which.
Okay. How's Nancy, all right?
She's all right.
Love the booby.
If I try and figure out stuff at the end of the commentary, you know which one I am.
Sven Göran Eriksson.
Who's a lively one?
It's a miracle. Here comes Grandpa Joe.
Yeah,
the
greedy, he can walk.
Malingering bastard.
That's the point I was making earlier on.
It's a good song, this though.
What's the song?
Because I've got a golden ticket.
I got a golden sun shining in my eye.
Now, the thing is, I'm not sharp.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure it's a song that you it's a film that you think of as a musical a lot of the time.
That's true, yeah.
Although it's chock full chock.
Yeah,
it won
songs.
Best original score at the Oscars.
Wow.
At them Oscars.
This is the first time I've realised their bed's got tits.
It does, doesn't it? It does, yeah. Look at this, look. Lazy man, but free chocolate, I'll come with you.
He's a fucking manky old.
He's a manky
old.
Hallelujah.
Michael Foot's
and do we presume do we presume that his wife is the one who's next to him?
Fuck off. I have no idea.
What's going on?
I've seen German videos where that sort of thing goes on.
Because she looks like she barely knows him.
George Burns. You're at the bed. Staying out the bed. You're coming back in.
Come on.
Big long brown stain at the back of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you ever fancy adopting a nightgown?
I quite like the.
I wouldn't adopt one.
No, but I'd perhaps keep one.
Would
I'd
you don don one?
I'd don a nightgown. Yeah, I think it's quite comfortable.
What would you think of a man in a nightshirt?
You'd welcome it, wouldn't you?
Oh, I know.
Chris, what would you think of a man in a nightshirt?
I'd know what he was doing in my nightshirt. I used to wear a nightshirt all the time when I was. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Where did you get it from?
Marks and Spencer's.
Comfortable.
Very good.
Yeah, it was great. It was keeps you really warm.
Rides
up a bit.
Get the air around your areas and places.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, but it's very comfy,
fresh.
Yeah. Why is it suddenly
it's
his golden
you have
ticket
to go up
now?
Through the night for a while.
Yeah.
Look, why is it suddenly his golden ticket now? He's quite quick.
Sorry, were you asking us?
Yeah, he's
for
quite,
the answer
quite quick to claim sole ownership of this golden ticket.
Well, it's his grandpa, you.
It was taken from his family in the 1930s, so he wanted it back. It's Germany, you know.
I think emotionally he it's and Charlie were equally invested.
He's taken away his
pleasure. Oh my God, Wonka's a Nazi. I hadn't thought about it before.
What about the theory that goes around now?
Who's been using that fucking...
That Wonka was a serial killer.
And this was his way of doing it.
There's a theory about this film that Wonka's actually a child killer.
Right.
And the whole thing is an elaborate so that he can murder some children.
Well, I said it's like Old Boy or Seven. He has a very, very strong moral sense of who deserves to die. Mm. He definitely has like that psychopathic God complex of like the dirty bastards like Telly and chewing gum.
Yeah.
Fuck them into the incinerator. That child is obese. What a greedy little shit. Get in the drink.
Yeah, that's a bit harsh, that one.
I've never seen the film, or I've never seen either version of Old Boy, and I don't want to sort of set this up as an opposite here, but which one do you like? Do you like the
Young Boy or Old Boy?
Do you like the original made by a talented Far Eastern director? Or do you prefer the remake made by that twat, Spike Lee? Which is the one you like? I don't want to push you down any route here.
I prefer the songs in the first.
Yeah, they're much better, aren't they? Hammer, hammer, hammer your head. Hey!
What kind of fool am I?
Doesn't he eat an octopus in it?
He does.
I couldn't watch.
Dirty bastard!
That wasn't a euphemism.
And then
was that alive? It was
alive.
It was
a river of octopuses.
And he eats alive. I don't like that.
And gets sucked up a pipe.
That's shocking.
Tentacle porn is quite a thing, isn't it?
What?
Oh yeah, I mean it certainly is. There's quite a lot of.
Yeah.
Didn't you go into tentacle porn with Mark Miller?
No, we didn't actually.
Who?
Yeah.
I don't know that guy.
Yeah, who's that guy?
You mean that guy that was pretending to be Martin? I have no idea who he was.
Martin substitute, as we call him.
No, we knew it was wrong when they started getting things right.
Yeah.
No, tentacle porn is a thing.
Wow, I've never heard of
it. That looks like Harry H. Corbett in the middle there, doesn't it?
That's a bit. Is that sort of German Empire thing going on there?
This is so fantastic. His introduction where that beautiful moment
sort
of limping
out.
And then going into the forward roll is so incredible. It just sets the tone perfectly. That sense of like frailty and slowness, and then the fact that he shows you how unpredictable he is.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, to me, it was a profound disappointment when Nelson Mandela got out of prison.
Yeah.
And none of us had seen him for 30 years.
And kept on shuffling along.
And he didn't go, hey, I was going like that. Any minute now, he's going to do a fucking
like
forward
crack.
Flip.
Oh, you're like smack.
And I thought he really missed a trick there. But then I thought, well, he probably hadn't seen the film because he'd been in the prison for that long.
Probably just seen the Tim Burton one. Nothing that good
happened. This is a marvelous film.
I'm sure I saw a documentary where he was just watching Gilda with Tim Robbins. That was him, wasn't it?
It was him.
Yeah, I thought so.
Ah, lucky working here again. Gene Wilder, would he have been a good Doctor Who?
No.
I always think Willy Wonka's quite Doctor-esque in parts.
He's got that same turn on a dime between like noble kindness and like horrifying glacial coldness.
I don't know because I know nothing about Doctor Who.
No, you can have an opinion, you're just not a proper fan.
Thanks very much.
You can have an opinion.
Don't you think that Roy Kinnear looked a wee bit like Matt Damon?
Yeah.
He does have a Roy Kinnear head.
He does. Kind of sort of porcine eyes.
So what you're saying is...
Gosh, he really does.
If they ever made a film with Matt Damon playing me, it would come out like Roy Kinnear.
Yeah, it'd be great. Because that could happen at any point.
Matt Damon could.
They've been in touch.
That's what I was like a few weeks ago. You never saw
him. Matt Damon could play Roy Kinnear.
That was all of us.
He could fall off that horse.
That was all of us outside work. When you go back. Outside the hospital.
Come on, Nelson, do the fork flip. Come on!
Yeah, no, that you're alright. This is exceptional.
When he walks along
with that performance.
It's a good forward draw as well.
Yeah. I do think he looks a bit like he's just done a bit of wee, though, in his trousers.
But he's just got like a bit of squeeze.
Yeah, got a little bit of squeeze wee there. Yeah, let's just see if we can shake that out.
But look at that, it's so completely bravura. It's like what any performer is trying to do is come out and set the tone of like, be kind and vulnerable. Boom. I've got this, I'm in complete
control. Do you think that was probably, I don't know, I've not read up on it. You think that was maybe a bit of business that he thought up?
Yeah, he wasn't meant to do it. He didn't tell anyone he was going to do it. He just came out and did it.
Wow.
I never noticed the stick hovers in there.
It's a beautiful piece of clowning.
Look at the German flags.
And you say, you immediately from that walk, you immediately know his character.
Yeah. But you would get the German flags because Augustus Gloop is there.
Yeah, of course,
Which is, of course, proper filming.
Indeed.
A great example of a very different film is if you ever... no one's ever watched it for years. But if you watch Chariots of Fire, and you've got all the very different people who are in it, you've got Liddell and Abrams and other guys and whatnot. If you watch the beginning... with that great run along the beach that everyone's seen.
Yep.
They're all totally in character, and if you just pay attention to that 1 minute scene, you know exactly who they are for the rest of the film. It's beautifully done.
Those German flags should be West German flags. Just saying.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
Aren't those West German flags?
No, they don't have the wee eagle in them, the old rice chicken.
Well, if there's a British one there.
But I mean, they have all of the flags They have all of the flags of all the people from the countries. And
that'd be kids. Oh, that's stuck. Are any of these kids famous? Have they ever gone on to do anything else?
No, we were talking about this when you stepped out to another bottle of brew, which is barely anyone of the children.
Yeah.
So he became a vet, as you said.
Did he?
Charlie Bucket. Yeah.
What, like a Vietnam vet? He was too young to be there, wasn't he?
What was it like in the chocolate factory? Of course you don't know. You weren't there.
Did we get to win this time?
Charlie Bucket.
And his malingering grandfather.
Yeah, malingering, suddenly better again grandfather.
Oh, you know how that fucking hat smells.
Yeah, that probably does smell that
the smell of benefits.
It smells of tobacco and bombs.
Barses.
Yeah, I will give you that.
Smells of barses.
Craig, are you happy with the economy that's portrayed in this film?
I'm actually enjoying the film slightly more than I thought it would, which is interesting.
So does that mean that you're not thinking about the economy then?
What is it? I mean, you know, we've not really seen much to think about the economy about it so far. Well, I mean, he's got a slave.
That's true,
workforce, yeah, that
so
helps.
Fine.
Yeah,
he's got to wear down a bit of good old British colonialism.
He saved
them from their natural environment.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But equally, any factory with metal gates with something above them and a slave workforce in Germany makes me slightly uncomfortable. Yeah.
Although it is, for a period, very efficient.
Very efficient, yeah.
Oh!
See, this is where I start to part company with a wee bit. I think the interiors of the factory mostly look a bit shite. That's just really bland. It's a curtain in a room.
But is that not to provide a contrast with the chocolate room when you go into it? Because it's so elaborate.
Yeah.
Also, I think those little dots of oddness in an otherwise quite convincingly industrial.
But it's shot
looking.
And lit really flatly as well.
I also like to think that although nobody ever comes in and comes out and all that, occasionally somebody must appear. Like somebody must have to come in to say, you know, we're going to be digging up the road. Going to just have, there's a leaflet.
Or the health and safety inspector has to.
Well, there must be some official people have to come in every now and again.
I think he could just meet
them in the wee office at the front.
I think the Food Standards Agency probably have to come.
Absolutely.
I think we're through the looking glass here, people.
No, I think the knit nurse probably
black
turns
is
up.
White.
Nah.
Up is down.
So there would be a sort of plain little office, and you know, inconspicuous little office that you could just say that's fine. Thanks very much.
But it just looks rubbish.
I'll read this thing about rabies and I'll tell everybody.
It's partly. I don't think it's actually a particularly great director. It's quite low down. It's quite flat. There's nothing much going on there.
I don't agree with that.
So, Rose, what did you think of the extra little subplot in the Tim Burton film with his Christopher Lee dad dentist thing?
Oh, that was like the most protracted rubber ducky.
Listen to this.
Well, the bit at the end.
No, the whole story with his dad and the sweeties and being a dentist.
It's classic Tim Burton has to introduce some sort of backstory.
Yeah, I don't think it's great. I don't think it's terrible because I love Christopher Lee.
It doesn't really add very much.
You don't really need to know much about Wonka.
And also, this is wonderful because he's totally unknowable. You know, he's utterly unpredictable. You don't really know anything about his motivations.
But that is a particularly modern thing in screenwriting in particular. But also, you know, the case of Thomas Harris, you know, you've got The Silence of the Lambs when he says, you know, Clarice, nobody made me, you can't say I'm not a set of things that happened to me. And then he went on to write several books explaining exactly what happened to him and that made him that way. And you think, well, it's that George Lucas thing. It's like, did you actually forget the film you made or the book that you wrote? Because that's more interesting.
Well, and also in this gene, you know, it's the difference between Johnny Depp. I'm not deliberately, just pounding on him.
Stop pounding on Depp.
Poor old Depp.
I want my pounding on Depp. Actually, he's not my cup of tea at all. I just can't resist a crack joke.
Well, we don't like that kind of thing, actually.
No, I know, you're all terribly, there's something in my eye, Alec. He's remote, whereas Johnny Depp is glacial.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I think Johnny Depp's probably the least interesting thing in that film.
Yeah.
But yes, that is very...
I'm going to have some more garlic bread.
You have some more garlic bread. That's quite a reasonably modern thing, isn't it? The obsession with the origin story.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's a very Tim Burton thing, actually.
But it's also about people trying to sweat a franchise a bit more, don't you think? I think we've sort of trained audiences to expect you get the film and then you get the thing that explains the stuff that led up to it and then you get the bit that explains everything that follows on.
Yeah, there's a presumption that everybody wants to know sort of more about the character. I think there's nothing wrong with having a sequel, which is more crazy japes and adventures with the character.
Yes.
I don't think you need to know, you know, where he grew up. And
he's certainly dealt with Willy Wonka.
Except it's done very well by Burton in Batman Returns with Oswald Cobblepot.
Well, it is done very well, but only because it's basically a pre-title sequence.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same in Thornton's.
Sorry, Karen.
Which is the Batman has it as well.
Do you think that the guy at Thornton's, when they thought they're going to do the chocolate fountains, Barry Thornton was saying to his wife Stella,
Frank,
"Do you know what? we can do a bit of like Willy Wonka for real."
Yeah,
in our
all
shops,
we need
is shit
is
cheap
Scott Block.
Hot and cold running Scott Block.
Yeah. And some shitty marshmallows.
I've been in our Thorntons for decades. Is that what they're like?
Thorntons used to be sort of...
it used to be really classy.
Yeah, and it's not anymore,
no,
is it?
No, it's well away from being
down.
Classy.
Sorry, Alec.
Yeah, I do like those nice...
It's not your hotel chocolat, is it?
A proper chocolate shop that has all the chocolates and rolls that you can pick. But I never understand... They seem to make more than they sell. They're all sitting out there. How long does a chocolate last on display? So we're getting into the economy of it.
But then, of course, now you can buy...
You just look like you've lost all the magic.
Now you can buy
Thorntons
in like supermarkets and things, and that's not right.
I'm totally transfixed. This part where they're moving down the stairs and that genuinely threatening swishy cane thing that he does while he's singing this stunning, wistful song.
Yeah, it's a lovely song. Yeah.
Which one's this?
Pure Imagination.
Oh, yes. So, Chris, can we fulfil our contractual obligation of talking about a shop in Glasgow?
Go on.
I'm asking you if you can help me out here. Around something to do with this? Nice sweetie shop from Glasgow?
Oh, the Hillfoot Cafe in Bearsden.
It is our contractual obligation. We always end up talking about some shop in Glasgow, don't we?
Run by two elderly sisters and... To my childish mind, it was much like the Land of Pure Imagination. It was one of the the sort of sweeties in jars and lots of exciting displays of lollies started to ebb away as something that you saw all the time. You know, before they've now returned as this like really rich, nostalgic thing. It was one of the last places that had that phalanx of like colourful. Glittery, shiny, delicious looking sweeties, and it was kind of like the Land of Pure Imagination for real.
There was a shop as well in it was there till about 92 in Kildrossan Street in the south side of Glasgow where it's all swanky calves now, more than June. There was a shop in the middle, it was a wee parade, and back then there was like an empty bank on the corner which was used for exterior shots and city lights. There was a City Bakeries, there was a Barrett's News Agents. They were all like an Azad video on the other corner.
Call forward,
yeah.
And they were all like proper shops. Now they're all fucking interior design boutiques and
except the Suarez on the other corner. There's two more film locations. Moira Jane's was used as the Scottish
blind
advert coming in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And the florist at the other end is the florists in Filth.
There you go.
When he goes into the forest, and it's actually his sister that plays the character.
But they're all quite swanky shops. No, that. But well, one of them was a shop called the Candy Box, which was a proper old fashioned sweet shop. It was all like dark wood and lots of jars and things laid out in trays. And that was a great shop.
There is one that you should go to in Edinburgh, actually, in Jeffrey Street, which if you come out of the Waverley Station and kick up towards the Royal Mile, it's called Lickety Splits. And it's lots and lots of old in bottles. And a woman who runs it's really, really nice as well. She taught Sylvester Stallone to juggle.
Wow, I thought you were going to say she taught Sylvester McCoy to play the spoons.
Yes.
I was going to say, no one's taught Sylvester McCoy to play the spoons.
I actually did a double take pigeon.
Double take pigeon.
Oh! Yeah, she taught
and
Sylvester Stallone to juggle.
What is the best named sweetie shop in Glasgow, would you say? Come on. We drove past it on Sunday.
Is it at Battlefield?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, the sweet shop on Woodlands Road, which is called Decent Sweets.
Decent Sweets.
That's your sweet shop. You could have called it anything. Yeah.
You could have called it amazing. You
could have called it excellent sweets.
Filthy sweets.
Yeah. Cracking sweets.
Passable sweets.
Yeah. There is a nice screen parlour in the south side of Glasgow with the excellent name. A wafer, a cone.
I love
which
it.
I think it's very good. Very
nice. Was there a particular sweetie that you used to get with your pocket money? For me, it was a Wamba or a Highland Toffee.
That's good.
And that's why you've got weird money. Tiny teeth.
Yeah,
tiny teeth.
Yeah, I like a Wamba.
Well, I'll tell you what I have when I go into liquid splits now.
Good value.
I get Army and Navy sweets, are the aniseed ones. My dad used to buy them and I liked them.
I didn't like your hand gesture there. It was like your
It was that you were interfering with a woman's front part for people who like the visuals.
He thinks that I keep suggesting that.
It's really unpleasant.
Eat them, you end up looking like Ina Shaffel's Davros.
Yes, you do.
But that was where the Wamba looked like a fucking remote control.
I liked Wamba. With the nice sort of
pop candy kind of bits in it.
Yeah. What did you like?
A bit. For the record, I've just made a gesture as if I was interfering with a woman's front part. Maybe my own, maybe someone else.
Hoing the lid garden.
I like the flowery sweets.
Oh, you've always liked a flowery sweet, haven't you?
I like not
floral. I thought you said the furry sweets. You just stopped talking about this now.
Not floral gums.
No, I don't like floral gums. Beans? I like chalky things like violet sweets.
Yeah. Like parma violets.
Parma violets. Like any of those things that
we
taste
should get
like
proper sweet.
Oh, there's Augustusson.
And
it's
I also
in the drink. Oh, it's in the.
I also like
it doesn't look like chocolate.
The Highland Toffee you could get, which was chocolate coated Highland Toffee. That was good.
It's a chewing nightmare.
I think you'll find a chocolate flavour. Like one of my favourite ones, which was chewing nuts.
Chewing nuts.
Squirrel chewing nuts.
I remember those.
Chocolate flavour.
And my dad used to get us for a treat. He used to get a job lot from Fine Fair.
Not gold.
And I think they were probably about 4 pence per single one. No, no, 4 pence per single one was their choc ice. And it was chocolate.
No, just as well, it wasn't like 4.5 pence, so you'd be fucking raging.
Exactly, but it was like.
Fuck you, Dad!
It was like chocolate flavour and proper yellow ice cream.
Oh, proper greenish
so
yellow
good.
Ice cream.
Proper
just
yellow
that
ice
brown
cream.
Lard covering sweet butter.
That was the sort of ice cream that doesn't melt, it just starts to fizz.
And it just forms.
It goes kind of furry, doesn't it?
Just a little.
Chris, you're 8 years old, you've got 20p in your tail. What are you buying?
Well, I like
cocaine.
I like chewing. That's cola cubes.
Yeah, I like cola cubes.
Is like a red cola cube?
There's more than one kind.
I think you got a black one as well, didn't you?
But they wouldn't be cola cubes. You can get pineapple cubes and things.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
cola
yeah,
cubes.
Yeah.
I like
red
cola peanuts.
Great,
I like magic fruits.
Did you have an ice cream van that used to turn up outside
Brenda?
Your school? Did you go in and say how much for a 10p mix up?
No. Because Brenda was about 30 stone. She would just fucking hit you if you did that.
I never liked foam sweets.
Oh, I love a foam.
No,
sweet.
I don't
I
like
never
a foamy
the,
sweet.
You know, like the
like
fried egg,
shrimp.
The
prawn,
foam shrimp.
Be prawn.
I quite like the yolk and a fried egg.
You know what I liked was the.
Oh, we've got Oompity Doos here.
Oh, that's a. The chocolate
we'll
tools.
Get back to you. Yeah.
Remember, you used to get chocolate tools.
I love chocolate tools.
Well, they're made of that. Made of that kind of chocolate that went.
You
all,
liked a chocolate tool.
Went
you,
all a bit stringy, and you know, it never went away.
I liked the candy cigarettes as well. They were good.
I hate Rebels.
Like the Pink Panther Snickers.
Yeah,
Rebels are disgusting.
I love
Rebels. Rebels are the work of Satan, not a one of them.
That's nothing to do with the cheek. That's to do with your anxiety.
Yeah, I don't like knowing what I'm getting. Not knowing what I'm going to get.
Fuck's sake.
You don't like the randomised element of
the Jeopardy. You don't like the Jeopardy.
It's not like occasionally there's one that's full of shit.
The coffee one.
There's only
the
like five options.
Yeah, but I always get the wrong.
I think my problem with them is that they look like those chubbies you do. Lots of different pieces of shite.
Nice.
I genuinely.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to look. Now you mentioned that.
You wouldn't like foam bananas then.
Now you mentioned that, Ros. I think when we watch Watership Down, I'm going to look out and see if you see any rabbit shites in it.
No, is this when we get to the freaky
my demon?
Bit? Yeah, this
when we get
is,
to the freaky boat bit.
This is so dark. I have to say.
No, remind me, Rose. Yes. Remind me. I don't think the. I don't think the Chocolate River's in the book. I think this is all new, isn't it?
No, the Chocolate River is in the book. Yeah. Augustus always drowns in the hot and cold running.
No, I mean the boat and all that going.
Oh no, the bit with the boat is because he's still.
Oh yes, because it's more like a paddle thing.
Well,
the thing that
he sings in this about like there's no earthly way of knowing. Roy Kinnear does a beautiful bit there where, like, in his terror, he joins in with a little farty. No way.
I thought this was... I don't remember
this
from the
book. In the book, that's a poem that Wonka recites. Whereas they turned that into one of the musical numbers while a centipede is fucking crawling over a woman's face and a chicken's having its head cut off.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Like something from an Eastern European stock cube advert.
All the time.
Canna.
Or the title sequence of The Tomorrow People.
I haven't read the book in I must be 30 years or something.
I was the kind of little arsehole who also read it in French.
That's arsey.
Jesus Christ.
L'arsey, that is.
Jolie, il facteur chocolat.
Why? It wasn't written in French.
Because I'm from an achingly middle class. I
let the chefs do patois.
Some folks say, you know, at the festival this year, they've got Macbeth in Japanese. You go, what the fuck's the point of that? He wrote it in English.
Oh, here we go.
So, let's just give a little bit. Let's give a bit of attention to this.
Banished, wind of, land of wind and ghosts.
This is very disturbing.
This was. Now, when I was a student, I remember seeing this when I had a hangover. And I hadn't seen it for about 10, 11 years, and I was a bit fucked up by this, actually. I was like,
this is
funny. Shit, I didn't remember it being this weird.
But you know, what
wait
I think
for the,
is...
Wait for the centipede. Why do we have that? Genuinely horrible.
But what I think is, what I think this avoids is that...
Chickens?
Yeah. Is that it's not willfully wacky and psychedelic. I think it actually, you know, there's a reason for it, because he's so fucked up or whatever. It's... You know, there are a lot of films like where they'd stick in mad fucking psychedelic dreams and things. But there's a reason for this.
When they come out the other side, they're in an old hotel. They're in a hotel room in a white room, and they're lying in the bed just like in fucking 2001. Because that's basically what's going on, isn't it? They've gone through the Stargate.
Genuinely unsettling, and it, you know, it really, really at that. I mean, if you needed any more proof of his unpredictability. Further than the fact that he didn't give a shit that someone's kid has possibly just died a minute ago.
It's the grizzly reaper mowing, He's getting louder and louder, isn't he?
Yeah, that's when he starts basically shouting, and I like that's a great performance.
He's a good singer as well, isn't he?
And he's also, I think he's singing it unaccompanied in this horrible, there's no earthly way of knowing that
but what's that? I can't even work out what some
it
of the footage is.
He's just retired now, hasn't he, Gene Wilder?
Has he?
Yeah, I think so.
There we are.
I think he lost his wife about 10, 15 years ago.
All right, she turned up.
The excellent Gilda Radner.
Yeah. Oh, that was a long time ago she died. Though. That was
sad.
But he's in his 80s
now. 20 years ago or something.
Oh, I don't think it's as far back as that.
Yeah, she died.
Reverse FAQ.
She died quite young.
Yeah.
Not long after one of a film I like a lot, very fond of, which is Haunted Honeymoon.
Yeah, it's a good film that, isn't it? Yeah. He was great. I mean, he's terrific in Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Often when we watch these films, we'll talk about other films that are similar, that are sort of in the same oeuvre. I'm not entirely sure if I can think of anything that I would say is a kind of bedfellow of this film.
Well, I think it's so
Kenneth
rare.
Anders.
Yes, Lucifer Rising.
Apart from Seven, of course.
I think there was probably an attempt by the producers of this to make something that was quite like it started out, I suspect they wanted to make something like Mary Poppins or Bedknobs and Broomsticks, and then when it came to the production, it just went batshit insane.
Yeah.
But also I think it's a testament to like, Roald Dahl's kind of storytelling. Mm, and also I do think it's Gene Wilder's performance, and I think it's very, very rare that you find a children's film where you have such an ambiguous adult.
Yeah.
You know, because like the rest of them roughly shake down the lines of like kind of crass, horrible, venal parents of crass, horrible, venal children, and then you've got the utter goodness of Charlie's family, and right in the centre of it is this wild unpredictability of Gene Wilder, where, you know, sometimes he's so cruel and withholding even to Charlie, but then see that he's created this world and he has this whimsy, and those like big blue wistful faraway eyes have such a sense that like there is goodness at the heart, but you don't get to know like right until that moment in his office where he throws his arms around Charlie and says, "My boy," you're not sure. You
I think it's quite upsetting.
I think you also get the feeling that if he had failed at the last minute, he wouldn't have said, "Oh, all right then." He would just have went, "Oh, well, fucking that's you."
No, because you know,
another wee prick.
Yeah, get fucked.
Well, and also there is something really unforgiving about the fact that you do think, yes, if Charlie hadn't handed over the everlasting gobstopper,
well, this is what I mean.
He would have said,
"You'd have just went, oh, well,
fuck you, get out of my office where everything's cut in half, you little shit," and wouldn't have like brooked any argument about Charlie's poverty.
No, but, that, but that's what I mean. It's like, you know, right up until then, you know, that he would have done that, whereas there's no sense that he would have said, "Oh, well, you know, you've sort of made it, you know." Of other films of Roald Dahl, books, my favourite one probably apart from this, I like Matilda a lot, but my favourite's probably The Witches, which is a tremendously good film.
Yeah, that's an excellent film.
I love that film. Everybody
Nick
in
Rowe.
It's great. Yeah.
It's really weird, isn't
it's
it?
One actually genuinely totally passable film.
Yeah.
It's a sensational
Bill Pattinson's good film. Fantastic in that film.
Oh, everybody's great in it. He's great in it. Even Rowan Atkinson is great in it. Mm-hmm. Angelica Houston's fucking awesome in it.
Oh, she's amazing.
It's a great film.
I saw that in the pictures. There's a big Bobby again.
There's a big Bobby, yeah.
And it gives absolutely no, like, almost like this, but it doesn't benefit from a character like Wonka, because the parents are horrible. Her grandmother's lovely. The boy's grandmother is lovely, and the witches are dreadful. So there's no. There's not like a Wonka where you don't know what the fuck is going on with him, whatever. It's all very good bad. But
until the ending, he's sweet in the ending. In the book, the boy remains. At the ending, Gene Horrocks turns up.
Turns up back. Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
No,
in the book,
he's still a mouse,
and he's actually thinking, how long do mice live? You know, he's basically just it's a bit water stripped down, I guess.
But in terms
he's
of the film,
thinking, you know,
but in the film. The point I'm making is that Wonka, there is no Wonka character. Mm-hmm. This is why this benefits, because Wonka, you don't know what the fuck he's up to. Where everybody in that's pretty well signposted, but it's a great film. Matilda's a great film.
Matilda's really good. And also, I genuinely quite liked Fantastic Mr. Fox, despite some of my reservations about the tweer stuff that Wes Anderson does.
That really didn't feel like a film made for kids at all, though.
No.
Don't you think? Because it was
I agree,
it was so sort of self-referential.
Do you know what I like? I like the Tim Burton version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Fuck you!
So while we're talking about Roald Dahl, what about Tales?
Could you stop kicking me, Jack?
I like to think of it
it's
as a heavy. I like to think of it as a heavy stroke, Greg.
Were you going to introduce E.L. Whistie's Tales of the Much as We Expected?
Yeah. Yes, Ron, I think I was going to talk about
Ronald was a very ordinary sort of name. It was only when I dropped the N and became Wow that people took any notice of me whatsoever.
So let's leave us at the title sequence. Craig, tell us unexpected.
Oh, where's
the
it.
Bit of royal jelly?
I have the
royal jelly.
Timothy Bott, what's his name?
Timothy West.
Yeah, I love Tales Unexpected. I've got the box set in the house. I'm slowly working my way through it.
Have you seen the one with Pamela Stevenson, with the chap who makes he's on holiday, and it's basically a bet to get a guy's fortune.
Man
if he gets
from the
wrong,
South.
They'll cut his finger off.
Man from the South.
That's a cracking episode.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It was made into Tarantino did a version of it in one of those shit films that
Hateful
Eight? No. one of the ones that's a portmanteau film.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. He does it again.
California Suite,
Grindhouse, or something.
Something like that.
Oh,
no.
Can we just pause for a minute? We've just missed the greatest moment: the no stop, don't.
No, oh, yeah.
That is said a truly blankly. Wonderful moment where he's like, if he's a serial killer, she's doing his work for
and
him.
And he doesn't even say it to any of them. He says it essentially off camera.
Yeah, no, I've always thought he says it just so that if there's ever any comeback on it, he'll say, well, I wonder.
I did say that.
And in the background, he wasn't even looking at her a moment ago. His kind of fatalistic disengagement from the destruction that he's wreaking on this child and her family is so absolute.
Because when he says that about it always happens when we get to the desserts and he's scratching his head, he's thinking about the annoyance of never actually getting to work correctly.
He only cares about that,
Do you know what I watch this again now? I think that Sylvester McCoy attempted to and failed to base his version of the Doctor in part on Willy Wonka. Yeah, there's so many of his mannerisms that Sylvester McCoy does badly. It's sort of sitting
chocolates.
There, kind of, and there's expression on his face.
Is that nice googie with a
so,
set
Chris you know? Tales Unexpected
I love Tales Unexpected. I loved Lamb to the Slaughter, which is a particularly good one. It's the one where
she
kills her husband
with
a leg of lamb
and then feeds it to the copper,
feeds it to all the cops that come round.
Right.
Which, to be fair, she manages to get that lamb defrosted and
very quickly.
Either
that,
or
just be shitting
stop it,
dead.
You weirdo. And it's Brian Blessed, that's right.
Yep.
Oh, lovely.
Another
impression.
At the hospital.
Susan George, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, Susan George. At the hospital where we work, they're developing a programme about Roald Dahl. And
what, a programme of therapy or something?
And it's just because in talking about Tales Unexpected, they did end up talking about Roald Jelly and the Leg of Lamb. So those seem to be the two that people remember.
Have you read the books? The stories?
No.
They're very good. He's a really good...
They're very, very good.
The stories are terrific,
stories.
Yeah.
But I think, and I think actually some people who have never seen it still hold an affection simply for that title sequence, which tells you nothing that you need to know about the stories, but everything in terms of atmosphere.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And you could slightly see a bare woman's boob.
Yeah.
And that devil mask with the light eyes light
it's
up.
It's also just kind of launches you straight back to 10 o'clock on a Sunday night.
And if you
can
want
I stay up and watch that?
If you want to hunt to sing the theme music, then you do it by using the word clang. Clang, clang, clang. Clang, 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 clang. Clang, clang.
Ooh, boobs!
Bit of boobies. Clang, bit of boobies. Clang, clang, clang. Tales Unexpected.
That noise you just made is also how you do the Dr. Shivago theme. You go. They're popping the ladies, that.
Do the Godfather, Chris.
I'll do all three for you, darling.
The last one's crap.
Quite tired by that point.
Hey, this seems
he'd forgotten why he'd started doing it by then.
I'm just doing it for the money. Just doing it to get out of debt by that stage.
Yeah, this isn't in the book. And I remember being really disappointed by this part in the film, because as an adult you understand that you need to probably have that bit of jeopardy and maybe try.
Always need a bit
to
of jeopardy.
Like,
need a bit of J words.
Bit of Jack's jeopardy.
Big J for the big J.
This is in the remake as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think it's in the book. And I think, there is that thing about him needing to be less perfectly good and that you as a child kind of understand that his transgression against the rules is like out of exuberance and excitement as opposed to like the malfeasance and greed that the other children behave out of. But I remember being really... sad he'd done something wrong.
Yeah,
whereas
but it's actually,
an adult, you're like, oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, but it's Grandpa Joe though that does it.
Yeah.
It's not Charlie. It's Grandpa Joe that says, why don't we just have a bit, there's nobody here, and then he drinks it and then gives it to Charlie. So it's actually Charlie hasn't actually transgressed.
Yeah, I think coming back to the Munich thing,
Munch.
Just following orders is not
yes,
allowed
that's right.
As a defence of anything bad.
Yeah.
It's what I'm going to try again. I'm going to try and get that president changed.
But I remember finding this incredibly melancholy as well, because I think I remember not being able to enter into the fun and all the glorious bubbles, because I don't know if I was like, you know, I guess children have such a strong sense of rules, and I think I was particularly like that. But I remember watching it and going, like, this is tainted. You've broken the rules now. You're doing something that one of the bad kids would do. I don't like this. I remember finding this. But even before...
Anxiety-inducing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I've got that, and I still have that, and I was watching The Night Manager the other night.
Oh, yeah.
And the bit that had me really anxious was when, and I hate it in any film, someone is trying to get into a room without anyone knowing.
Yeah.
I have a look and find something in time to get out.
Yeah.
That still makes me incredibly nervous watching that.
Back to your days as Cat Burglar?
It does, yeah, it does, yeah.
That was after the evil poet laurie. That was when you'd been deposed from the evil poet laurie.
I was trying to steal poems from another publisher.
Yes, that's right.
I was always doing that.
Yeah, now you're attempting. But do you know what? You know, given that we live in the Seekings together and we share that room,
yeah.
I still sometimes hear you climbing out the window at night. You think I don't hear that, but...
I find this really stressful. I do find things like this very, very panic-inducing.
So when did you first watch this one, then? Can you remember? No?
I thought I'd already told you. That's Vicky.
We've done that.
Vicky MacArthur, the bitch is sleeping.
Right, but...
Tiger Tim's dad.
Yes, no, I understand that. But as in, so were you with a group of people, and did you like it the first time you saw it? All that jazz.
I loved it the first time I saw it. It was at a sleepover with a group of girls that I didn't particularly like. I'm not sure why I was... My mum used to make me be friends with other people, so I think it was one of those, like, parents organising your social life things. I certainly remember being far more interested in the film than the company.
And was everybody else excited to watch
it? Like you are tonight. Yeah,
exactly. Story of my fucking life.
So was everybody else... excited to watch it, or not really, or why were you watching
all
it?
The Jackies?
Oh man, I'm getting flashbacks.
Getting a fucking stoner.
There's tiny ones.
Five of them.
They're not as big as Big Boy.
Oh, Big Boy. Anyway, carry on.
The one strange detail that I remember about it was that it was on Betamax. Whoa!
Now Chris is interested.
Look at that.
I have no idea. When I was at primary school, so like 2 million years ago.
Wow.
Early 80s.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a video player at all. For some reason, I distinctly remember that they had it on Betamax.
And did you find it scary or not particularly? Or
No, I don't remember finding it scary apart from the bit in the boat. I remember finding the bit with the fizzy lifting drinks anxious. And it certainly, even though I'd already read the book, I certainly had no sense that there would be a happy ending.
Oh, really? What, you did all right the way, even though all the other children were eliminated?
Yeah, because I think Gene Wilder is so amazingly unpredictable. I tell you what I do remember. I remember that in the Quentin Blake illustrations in the book, Willy Wonka's got like a little pointy beard and things. And I remember having that thing where you go, well, that's not Willy Wonka.
Yeah, I remember thinking that.
Right. And I don't know if I probably hadn't seen Gene Wilder before, and I found him quite otherworldly and freaky. But once I was sucked into it, I think he made me forget what I knew about the book, because he was such a different Willy Wonka that I don't think I felt assured of a happy ending at all.
The copy of the book that I had originally, I didn't have Quentin Blake illustrations. I think it was before he became suddenly, you know, hugely with all the so they were more like pencil drawing kind of things, and he still had little sort of pointy beard and tash and wee jaggy wee hair under his hat and all that sort of thing, but it was very much like a three-piece suit and a top hat and a cane. And I remember when I was saw this the first time thinking, well, I'm not sure that's what he looks like.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be a sort of, I think I remember from the book, it's meant to be a plum-coloured sort of velvet suit
that he wears.
And that, yeah.
Is that not a plum-coloured jacket he's wearing here?
No, it was all meant to be the one colour.
Right.
This is my
theme song. I'm sure he's not meant to wear a Glasgow wedding shirt.
Is it?
This is essentially my theme song. Veruca's
it's very wistful.
Him to consumerism.
Ah, yes.
elves have that bit with the cellophane.
This is the beginning of Temple of Doom.
Yabam bado da dee da da ba ba. Anything goes. Boom.
That's hard, isn't it? I like the way they're all just standing watching her.
Mm. That's because they now know that she's inexorably on the path to death.
Although I wasn't at all on board with her, I did kind of enjoy the fantasy of destruction. I quite fancied doing that.
And that's her then?
Yep.
She was a bad egg.
She was a bad egg. There's Matt Damon again.
Me, do you mean?
I just can't unsee that.
No.
You told me this, Craig.
He is so wonderfully sweaty and oppressed by his horrible daughter in this. He's great.
Yeah.
But, the thing it very definitely made, see, this is what I don't understand about this production, apart from, you know, because it was, there's the thing about it being in,
you're getting quite grumpy about it now.
Fuck off. But there's the thing where it's clearly, it's not a British film, even though there's a lot of British actors in it and it's made in Germany, but they say things like garbage rather than rubbish. It sends all sorts of weird messages about what it's who it's intended for, the market that it's intended for. I mean,
yes, it is confusing.
I feel like there should be another one or two films that are obviously somewhat
if someone said Manary loved that, what's the next film you recommend they watch?
But you said this wasn't that much of a hit.
No, I don't believe it was. No, I think retrospectively it's got cult status. What are you nodding away for there?
Wasn't it?
I mean, it's sort of got more in common with like things like H.R. Puff and stuff, and the total candy colour.
Yeah, that is probably
oddness.
Yes,
I think it kind of also has a wee touch of things like the Magic Christian about it, and
I hate that
singing
film.
Ring too.
Yeah, or what's it called? Even the bed sitting room. There's a real sort of
late '60s,
early '70s, just total madness about it.
I love the bed sitting room.
You could see Spike Milligan playing Willy Wonka.
Spike Milligan was meant to play Willy Wonka.
No way.
In this version,
you are fucking shitting me, Christopher.
No,
really?
he was the original.
I did not know that
he was meant to play it, and then at the last minute pulled out.
I just stumbled upon that.
Mm-hmm.
Were they not going to let him black up?
He wanted to play it as Hitler. No, I don't know. For one reason or the other, he ended up not doing it.
Wow.
We may have been having one of his spells.
Oh, yeah.
Bless him.
And then Gene Wilder stepped in.
Wow, so how late in the day? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know any of the detail on it. I just know that it's one of those things. I remember reading a big article. It was like, in fact, I think it was Roger Lewis's crazy ass book about Peter Sellers? Like, he mentions it in the same sort of passage as he mentions it. Hyman Roth in Godfather Part 2 was meant to be played by Peter Sellers.
Really?
Yeah. But at the last minute, Sellers, because he was total nuts at the time, pulled out the last minute, and Strasberg was just a last minute
gay. I don't know that would have worked at all.
Oh, I think it would have been immense.
Yeah, but you've got
Strasberg is an
obsession with Sellers.
Yeah, Strasberg is great, but I think Peter Sellers would have been a whole other ballgame.
I always forget about this bit with Willy Wonka's big spunking traction engine.
Come on, kids, get on my spunking traction engine.
And look at the
right
way
in the
he's
face.
Generating it as well, giving it a good old tug.
Who wrote the screenplay for this?
Roald Dahl.
Did Dahl do it? Yeah.
Roald Dahl, yeah.
And do we know if he liked it or not?
Well, he wrote it, so. That's a shite.
Was he happy
this
with the end result?
I've got a feeling he wasn't, but I'm not sure where I got that from. I haven't done any, as you may be amazed to hear, I haven't done any research on it, but I've got a feeling somewhere that he wasn't very pleased with it.
But they do have a tendency, authors, to not like productions of their novels.
Yes.
Just ask Stephen King.
Yeah. Yeah, but Stephen King's just sort of a bit tiresome about it, because no matter how many times he seems to object to them, he keeps selling the options and making fucking huge wads of cash off
and
it.
Tediously insisting that he hates films that have been consistently rated as the best ones ever made.
Because then he went off and made that one Maximum Overdrive, which he directed.
Oh,
which he doesn't remember directing because he was so pissed at the time.
Mm. Is that the one where all the lawnmowers and shit go around?
Yeah.
Yeah,
fucking terrible.
Pretty bad.
At least Alan Moore has decency just not have his name on.
Yeah, and doesn't take the money either.
Money.
nor does he badmouth them afterwards. He just says, it's your thing, I'm not having anything to do with it.
On what?
Alan Moore.
Pretend that he is the DC.
Which films is that?
Well, all the ones that V for Vendetta.
I don't know who it was, but
so V for Vendetta is Alan Moore.
Watchmen.
Book Watchmen.
Oh, right, I know that one. I didn't know V for Vendetta. Is that a comic?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I like V for Vendetta.
Watchmen
and it's a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, all those ones.
Yeah.
The books are fantastic. He doesn't take the money. He doesn't stop it from happening. So, for instance, for Watchmen,
there's no
Dave Gibbons,
really?
the artist, got all the money from it.
Yeah.
Oh, fair dues.
Yeah, he just says, I won't stop it. I won't stop anyone else making money from it. That's what he do.
That's awfully decent.
But I'm not going to get involved in it.
He's a good guy, on
but
he's skin, but he's a good guy.
He is. He does all right.
He's not. He's skin.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he really?
I think.
Is he revisiting his policy now?
He sunk a lot of money into a magazine called Dodgem Logic and lost a lot of money.
Oh, Dodgem Logic.
Yeah.
It sounds like what I like about what always
classic about everything that's wrong with British media is that any article about, and we've talked about this before, any article about him, anything about him on telly always says, it's amazing, he lives in Northampton.
Yeah.
Well, that's where he's from. Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. It's this belief that you cannot believe that you don't live in Islington. Yeah. You know, it's.
Yeah. Is he the one with the mad hair?
Yeah. He talks like that. All right, mate.
Well,
no, but Northampton has a strange sort of. It is the part of the Midlands.
They say Yow, don't they?
Yeah.
They do, yeah.
Nothing else but Yow. Yeah. That's what Dr. Manhattan sounds like.
And he's into.
What a Yow.
Do you want a cup of salt?
That's Boston.
Have a fried bread toss pie?
Yeah. Just Rod, I'm off to Mars.
I'm off to Mars. You're right.
Leave me alone.
Boston.
I feel like there's a bit of a Michael Haneker funny games thing going on by the time it gets to Mike TV, where you're like, I'm in no doubt that he's going to get fucked. Just get it over with.
I have
no compassion left. Please just kill him.
But that's kind of the genius of Roald Dahl, isn't it? Because you kind of know after Violet Beauregard that something's going to happen to all of them. The question is, how is it going to happen to them? Interesting ways to get fucked up.
Yes.
That mirror the foibles of the person being.
In essence, it's
up.
Like it's like an.
How does he pull that off?
It's like he's given it some thought.
It's like an episode of Casualty.
Well, Roy Kinnear's in it.
Well, there we go.
My late friend John and I had a back in the right through the '90s, we had something of a tradition of watching the Christmas Casualty together. Because it was the funniest fucking thing of the year.
Is that the ones where they would have like a train crash and a plane crash?
The one that I loved most was someone got stabbed with a knife while cooking the turkey. they were in the ambulance. The ambulance hit something and did an overturn and smashed on its roof, and it cut to Duffy turning to Charlie going, you know, I've got cancer. We were like, that is fucking magnificent.
Was Charlie having some sort of personal crisis?
Almost certainly, I was a thought.
Is he still in Casualty?
I take that. I will once a year now watch Call the Midwife. I watch the Christmas Call the Midwife because it does a proper Christmas special. It's really Christmas.
Yeah,
I watch any other episode of it.
Is Charlie not
dead? I watch it for a little Christmas cry.
Yes,
like a little sentimental Christmas cry.
I cry like a bastard at it, yeah.
Was there not a big thing
you
once
come over to mine this Christmas, pal?
Where
Charlie had a heart attack or something? Is he not dead?
I don't know. I don't watch Casualty.
I don't think I've seen it since like the second episode of the first series.
With you at Plymouth. And it was actually about
that guy in Local Heroes.
I think he was, I think he was. And it was all about. It was about issues, isn't it?
Yeah, and I used to think the guy who was. I thought when I saw that episode at the start, I thought, oh, this would be good. Because I thought, remember the hospitalist administrator, as you used to have then?
Did you think he was Fulton
McKay? I thought he was Fulton McKay.
Me too, that's really weird.
And I thought, oh, kill Fulton McKay. Oh, it's not.
Yeah.
And they
that's
used to
really
have,
weird,
they used to have
too.
The comedy foreign guy as well. What was he called?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, the guy.
I thought you just said his name.
No, Ewart Plimmer was the administrator guy.
Yeah.
There was a foreign guy who used to push.
That's who we're talking about.
He was
like
in
Polish or something.
Right, but what was his name? I can't remember.
Jerzy Belowski.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Jerzy Belowski is Medieval Torture Hour.
Oh, here you go. We're getting near the end. And this genuinely feels bleak. You know he's absolutely happy to send him away.
Yeah,
he's like, just be glad you were not killed at the hands
Look,
of your own
face.
Vanity. He's a good little
actor. He is a good reactor, that boy.
I think he's wearing a Wonka tie for a second.
Yeah, he's just baffled and hurt.
I like how Grandad goes back in though and says,
"Well, it was great. If it hadn't been, if it wasn't for Grandpa, they'd just be getting the fuck."
Yeah.
And the office with everything cut in half is genuinely quite unsettling.
Yeah,
quite a grubby half sink.
But it makes me think that actually Milligan might have been involved in the pre-production longer than
yeah.
Because this is
it's
sort
a very
of,
Milligan sort of idea, yeah, that, isn't it?
Having stripes of wallpaper instead of actual wallpaper and things like that.
Well, look how cold
he's really
he is
angry
now.
As well, doesn't
yeah.
he? He turns
yeah.
on.
Yeah, it's when he goes, "It's Victor," and all that. And all this.
Yeah.
You know, it's proper, barely controlled rage. And his comb-over's even come into bed.
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, he always looks slightly mad here, and he doesn't look like he needs a comb-over.
No.
Michael Caine here.
That's a monkey now, yeah.
There's a hundred bedtimes between here and Edinburgh. I don't care if you've been kidnapped.
Would he have been a good Willy Wonka?
Is that a call forward or a call back?
I don't know. Call sideways. You stuck.
You
bumped into the bloody ceiling!
Good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Younger Brother.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Is it Smarter Brother or Smarter Younger Brother?
Yeah.
Which is a bit weird.
I've never seen it.
It's a bit weird. It's Liam McKern's very good in it. It's Moriarty.
Oh, Liam McKern's fantastic. Yeah.
And Marty Feldman's in it and Madeline Kahn's in it. It's basically a Mel Brooks film without Mel Brooks having anything to do with it. And Gene Wilder directed it. But it's got a weird thing where there's a song all the way through it that they keep doing, which is a bit annoying. But
my problem is
because he plays Sigerson Holmes.
I kind of feel that I've not got any space for it in my life because the private life of Sherlock Holmes is probably one of my all-time favourite films.
I think it actually might have been.
Right,
sorry, I'm transfixed by the big moment.
It might have been a. Yeah, it must have been after the private life.
Here we go. Look.
There you go. He's got a wee Rubik's Cube.
And he just leaves it for that beat longer than you think he's going to.
So shines a good deed in the pleading world.
He's got very nice Colin Baker-esque hands.
Yeah,
go back.
Very nice, very nice.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Just about filling up.
Yeah, he is fantastic.
You know what? You've kind of won me over with this film again. I still don't like the look of the factory, but he is so fucking good in it, isn't he?
And look at the way he just lights up. You know, he looks like his life depended on finding this one good child.
I think...
Did you get a bit of cocaine that day? His eyes are a bit fucked up there, aren't they?
He is totally feral.
I think the look of the factory is probably... I think they probably did quite well with a budget that... I don't imagine it could have been very big.
$3 million.
Yeah, that's really pretty minimal, even then.
Take the Wonka beta. So why did they not do the glass elevator then?
Because it's
sequel.
Even at the time,
I remember
that's a real
reading primary and being really excited to move on to it.
Because nothing really happens in it.
I actually read
once
that before I read
station.
Charlie
also,
and the Chocolate Factory, weirdly.
The story's complete now.
Yeah.
You don't really need a sequel to it.
Don't need an origin story. Don't need a sequel.
Wonka begins.
Wonka begins. Yeah.
Wonka rises.
Wonkmetheus.
The rise of Wonka.
Wonkmetheus.
That'd be a good film.
That's not a prequel.
Yeah, that'd be.
Hey, you know they're making another one.
What, Prometheus?
Oh, definitely.
Alien Covenant,
be there.
I think it's called.
Oh,
but not with Naomi Rapacious. You said.
Mm. Well, apparently not.
The point of that, then.
I remember even
it's what
as
I choose
a child.
To believe, Chris.
No.
I choose to believe Prometheus is shit.
No, I remember as a child having no appetite for them to make a sequel.
No, it doesn't.
At all.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't need that.
It's quite a nice feeling, that, isn't it? When a story is complete
with it,
to you,
yeah.
You just think that's it, you know.
I kind of also remember, and I think again looking at this, I don't really need to see that. That moment where he says, "my boy," and dissolves into this extreme delight is so much greater than this jobby effect of this little Tampax flying above.
I quite like that, actually.
Is that what a Tampax looks like?
It's what my special.
That's why she's so angry.
Really?
I think actually there's one of the few things in terms of design that's worse than the illustrations that were in the book. I had, you know, not the quite in black illustrations, where the lift was just the shape of an ordinary lift, but yeah, purely glass with lots of buttons on it.
That's right, yeah, it was,
which is a really nice design, and that's I actually think that is a nice design, but it's not as nice as that.
They've gone for a sort of steampunk.
Well, yeah,
first men in the moon type thing here.
It also looks like it's projected by sort of a rocket. And they miss out all the stuff about it being on skyhooks.
Oh, yeah.
As anybody who's ever worked in a building site will discover, that you will be sent at some point for some skyhooks.
Oh, yes.
Like or a tin of tartan paint.
Yeah,
or a long stand.
A long stand, aye.
And look at this, though. I mean, this is beautiful as well. The moment where he's like, you know, come to love me, come to view me as a father figure, but also this is all about the fact that I am going to die.
Yeah, I find that quite sad, I remember. You remember thinking, you've got him in your life now, you wouldn't want to lose him in a hurry.
Mm. And you see them,
Stirling
they're kind
Castle
of...
the window.
Well, this one you're
that funny white hall that they put onto the extension, the conservatory.
But this is really lovely. They're falling into like a very particular kind of genuinely moving love, and then he's like, "And by the way, I did all this because I'm gonna die."
But what they do very nice in this is they make it Willy Wonka makes it very clear to Charlie now that he has passed the test that everything will be all right. In terms of, you know, you will live happily ever after, is what he's saying.
Apart from when I die.
Yeah, but that's.
Hopefully it'll be a long time away. I mean, it's not something's going to happen imminently, is it?
So come on, Craig, where do you stand now?
Yeah, I did.
Which is better?
I had kind
which
of. Well, no, I still like the other one.
Get out.
But it's better than I remembered. And but the things that are better about it are really, what's his name? Mel Brooks. What's his name? Gene Wilder. I still don't really like the look of it very much. Softitler did the. Subtitles for us
a
there.
Vulpa Pictures?
No, I don't know them at all. Chris?
I still love it. It's great, yeah. It went past a lot quicker than I seem to recall it.
Quick film.
Because time flies when you're having fun and when you're watching a film which is genuinely every bit as good as you thought it was.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I found myself a bit transfixed right at one point.
I thought we were just in a bad mood about something.
Hey, oh god, fuck yourself.
Rose, you brought it to us.
Yeah.
I think we owe you a debt of thanks for that.
Yeah. I think you can too.
I'm sure next week will be just as much fun.
When we watch adorable Beatrix Potter-esque tale of fluffy, offy bunnies. Watch it down.
I'm looking forward to that.
I think
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it's like the Muppet movie, isn't it?
Yeah. Because you know what? Actually, I've been a bit down lately, and I really need something to. I need to laugh.
Something to lighten.
Well, do you know what I say next week? What? Let's give it 2 weeks before we watch that.
Yeah,
let's do that. Okay.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.